Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Our daughter, Kelly, is teaching on the broadcast today. Now, let me tell you something. Of course, we're like other parents and grandparents. I mean, we're thrilled with our children. We're thrilled not only with the fact that they're our children, but I'll tell you, their growth and their spiritual lives are not dependent on us as parents or grandparents. I mean, our grandkids know more about standing and walking in faith than we did when we went in this ministry.
Oh, by far.
Gloria and I do not share this table or this pulpit or this ministry with anybody because they're our children, because of their financial statement, or because we're trying to impress them or you. Nobody comes behind this holy desk unless the Holy Ghost has instructed it to be that way, and unless they have the anointing of God in their lives, and unless they know what they're talking about and they have something to say that our partners need to hear. And this is true with our children, it's true with our grandchildren, it's true with any other ministry. That is our stand on the Word of God. So Kelly's not here because she's our daughter. She's here because she is an anointed woman of God with a specific ministry and calling in her life. And she has something to say that will help you in your life. In Jesus' name.
Join Kelly Copeland on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as she shares the freedom and peace you receive in living to please God.
Hello, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland, and I'm so excited this week and next week to be bringing you the Word. And I want to talk to you the next couple of weeks. I really want you to get a revelation of something that the Lord's been stirring in me, and it has to do with obedience, yes. It has to do with submitting to His wisdom, yes, and to His plan. But He's been phrasing it a little differently to me the last, I don't know, couple of months. He's been talking to me about living to please Him. So we're going to dig into the Word and see some areas where maybe people missed it and where maybe we used to think it was about do's and don'ts and a bunch of rules. Really, if we would turn all that around and do things not just because it's the right thing to do or don't do things because it's the wrong thing to do, if we would turn that around and do what pleases Him, our whole life would change. The whole motivation behind everything we do would change, and it gets simpler to do what is the right thing when you do it to please Him. You know, the Word says, do everything as unto Him. And so in all that we do, if we do it to please Him, then He's going to let us know what doesn't please Him. We're going to be sharper and clearer and more able to understand what does please Him, because that's our goal. And then in the second place, the reward is much greater, because if you just do something because it's a do or a don't, yes, you get a reward. But when you do it because it pleases Him, the reward is so much greater, and it's simpler on top of that. So I believe in the next couple of weeks, you're going to learn. You know, people talk nowadays about the secret, the secret, the secret. They talk about that on the Oprah show, and you see it in magazines, and you see books about it. Well, I'm going to give you the real secret to happiness. It's pleasing the Lord. That is the real secret. Of course, that encapsulates a lot. That encapsulates obedience. It encapsulates doing the right things. But it's so much easier if you just frame it in that question. If there's just one question to ask, Lord, does this please you? So I'm going to kind of start at the beginning, and we're going to work our way up to the New Testament and all the scriptures that are in it about pleasing the Lord. So today I want to start in Genesis. I think that's a great place to start at the beginning. And let's see how Adam and Eve missed it. You know, God had a plan, didn't He? He made this very specific plan for them. He created the garden. He created the earth. He made it look like He wanted it to look. And He did it with the goal of having this perfect place to put this man. And he had this whole plan for them. Everything that he planned, he gave them direction to walk out that plan. I mean, let's look at it. He said in Genesis 1, verse 27, I'm reading out of the New Living mostly this next couple of weeks. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. He made us just like him. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them. He empowered them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea. Now, that was an instruction, wasn't it? He told them, fill the earth. That was his instruction to them. And for them to please him, they would have needed to fill the earth. They would have needed to govern over it. They would have needed to reign over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Those were his instructions to them. And God said, look, I've given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals and the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. God, see, he said, I've provided everything. I've given you the food. I've given the animals the food. All you have to do, he says later, is watch over it and tend it. And it says that God looked and it says he saw that it was very good. You know what? God said, this is good. I like this. What was he saying? I am pleased with this. I'm pleased with how it turned out. I'm pleased with my man. I am pleased with the woman. I'm pleased with everything that's been made. I'm good with it, God says. So he was pleased. And then it says he rested. And so it says in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the Lord planted a garden in Eden. And there he placed the man he had made. It said he made all sorts of trees to grow, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. So God even did all the hard work. Man didn't have to even plant the garden. God did all the hard work. And he tells them in verse 15, it says, he placed the man in the garden to tend and watch over it. That's really, he told him to fill up the earth. He told him to govern it. He told him to watch over it. To me, that's kind of like when you're a kid and you go to school and your room was a horrible mess and you come home and your wonderful mother had cleaned up your room during the day. You know, I did that sometimes for my kids. And I'd say, the thing I would say to them is, now keep it clean. I've worked all day in here. Keep it clean. They didn't have to do the hard work. They didn't have to clean it up. All they were asked to do was to keep it clean. And so, you know, they were sometimes about as successful as Adam and Eve in doing that. But it was much easier to keep it than it was to plant it. It was much easier to keep it clean than it was to actually get it clean. And so if they only knew, right? And you try to get that message across. Because as a parent, you want to be a blessing to your kids and do this. And then when they actually will keep it, they begin to understand how much easier that is. So Adam and Eve were asked to tend the garden, to watch over it, to have dominion. And really, that's all. And then he said to them, now, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, it says, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, here again is a great parent saying, now listen, you can freely eat of every tree in this garden, because he had already told them, I've put all these trees here, good fruit for you to eat, for you to taste and enjoy, and it is good and pleasing to me for you to do that. But he said, the only thing I don't want you to do, and really, that's pretty easy. They had one don't. One don't, one rule. You know, sometimes it feels like our lives are so full of rules, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this and that and that. But they just had one rule that they were asked to keep. So I think this proves that rules are not the answer. We do have to have rules, but just obeying the rules is not good enough. Your heart has to be behind it. And so God says to them, there's just one rule. Just don't eat this one tree, because if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. And that's not what God wanted. God, that doesn't please the Lord for you to die. So he told them the important thing that they needed to know, not to die. You know what? God has told us important things that we need to know, not to die, not to have the curse working in our life, not to allow the enemy to have a foothold in our life. We've complicated things so much that he had to give us a whole book of things, ways to be, ways to not be, because it got so complicated in the garden. If Adam and Eve could have just lived their life to please the Lord, things would have been so much simpler. But of course, they got off track. He said to them, don't eat this one tree, because if you do, you'll die. And so let's go on down to chapter 3. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Now, you know what? This little thing that the devil began to do in the Garden of Eden, he has been doing it ever since, and he never changes. You'll read something in the Word of God, and then, you know, maybe the Bible says that he comes immediately to steal the word. And you'll think, you know, did that really say that? You know, God speaks to your heart and he says, you know, stop drinking diet drinks or stop drinking sodas or stop eating this kind of food or stop going to this kind of movie. And then your flesh starts to creep in and you start to want to do something like that. So you start asking, you know, did God really tell me that? Or I don't know, maybe I was just dreaming that I think this is okay for me to do. And we start justifying those things that we want to do. But when God tells you something like that, it's for a purpose. And that purpose is because he's trying to get you on the road where he can bless you, where he can take care of you, where he can look at your life and say, this is good. This is what I wanted for my child. This is what I wanted for Kelly. I want her to walk in the blessing. I want to be able to bless her. I don't want her opening her life up to the devil and listening to him. So he tells us what to do, but then Satan comes immediately to steal that thought or to steal the word from us and said, is this really what God said to you? And you begin to question it. And so she answered him. She said, of course we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or touch it. If you do, you will die. Now, right here, to me, she sounds somewhat satisfied. Some of you may have heard me preach on this before. I'm going to repeat some of those things. But she says, yeah, this is what we were asked to do. And then the devil says, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be open, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Now, let's just stop right there for just a minute and talk about that. The devil says to her, you're going to be like God, knowing both good and evil. Well, you know what? We've already read that we were made in his image. We've already read that he breathed his life into them. Now, let's kind of take this from the devil's viewpoint for a second. Here, God has created this man and this woman and placed them in this beautiful garden that he's perfected for them. And he made them like him. Do you know what an insult that is to the devil? I mean, the devil said, he said, I will be like God. He decided, I'm not going to function in the capacity that the Lord made for me. I'm not going to function the way he designed me to function. He thought, I'm going to do something different. I've got my own plan that I'm going to do that plan, and I will be like the Most High. That's what he said. And what happened to him? He gets booted out of heaven. The Bible says that Jesus saw him fall like lightning. He got kicked out for what? Saying, I will be like the Most High. And then God turns around and he creates this man and woman to be like him. and gives them everything that Satan wanted. Everything that Satan got in trouble for, God turns around and makes this man to have all of that and to be like him and to function like him, to have his life breathed into him, to have the wisdom of God. And Satan says, if you'll just eat this tree, you'll be just like God. And they were already like God. She was already like God. But she starts getting her mind on something that was not the plan of God for her. And it says here, the woman was convinced, says she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. Instead of saying, you know what? Instead of doing what the Lord said and tending that garden and kicking out a voice that said God was a liar, what do you do when that voice comes to you and says, God's a liar, God's not telling you the truth? Usually he's not that upfront about it. It's more subtle. But what should she have done? Kicked him out, ran him out of the garden, took dominion over it. It says that she's supposed to govern it. She's supposed to reign over it. She's supposed to have dominion over everything. She should have taken that and kicked him out because that was what she was instructed to do. She should have remembered that God said, don't eat this one tree. She should have remembered that God was her source. She should have remembered that to please God, I've got to obey him. But she forgot. She begins to look with her eyes, and that tree looked good. And beyond that, the wisdom that the devil was talking about, the wisdom of good and evil, began to look good to her. And really, don't you wish you could go back there and say, oh, honey, don't do that. Wrong mess up. Don't go that way. That's a mistake. Because she already had the wisdom of God. She already had the knowledge of good. And the knowledge of evil that she was about to partake of, she didn't know it, but she didn't want that. You know that word knowledge? That means intimate knowledge, intimate communion with, intimate relationship with. You know, you want to have intimate relationship with good. But how many of us today would say, hey, I want intimate relationship and knowledge of evil? No, you don't want to have that kind of knowledge of what's evil. Yes, I want to know what God says about evil. And you know, she could have had that. She could have asked God, what is evil? What's he talking about? God would have sat with her and he would have explained to her what evil was. Or she could have eaten of the tree of life and she would have had life about her. The Bible says that when in the Revelation, that tree of life, that gives spiritual life. And so she had the choice to eat that tree of life, but she didn't. She chose the one that God said not to eat. And so that knowledge of good and evil was opened up to her. It says she took some of the fruit and she ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, who should have known better. It says he ate it too. And at that moment, it says their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So here they are. All of a sudden, the world of the evil has been opened up to them and they're shamed. Do you know that when we open up our life to the devil, the first thing that happens is shame? When we disobey God, that first thing that comes is shame. And that's not from God. God doesn't want you to feel ashamed. He wants you to feel at peace with him. He wants you to have peace with him. Of course, you and I know, or maybe you don't know, but he sent his son Jesus so that we could have that sense of peace again. So that he paid the price of shame so that we could have that again with him. I know I'm getting ahead, but I feel like somebody needed to hear that today. Maybe you do have shame. Maybe you've lived your life based on the lies of the devil and not the word that God has promised you. Maybe you haven't lived your life to please the Lord. But you can turn that around today. You can ask him to be your Savior. That's what God sent him for. God sent him to pay the price for the mess up that Adam and Eve did in the garden. God sent him to pay the price for this original sin right here put all of us in a place of sin. The Bible says that because of the sin of one man, all men sinned. But on the other hand, because of the sacrifice of one man, we all could be free. And so Jesus has freed us from that sin. So if you feel shame today, if you feel like my life is not pleasing to God, you can turn that around. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that later on in the broadcast. But you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to do it right now. I just want you to bow your head right now and just pray this prayer. There's no reason to wait. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to take my place on the cross and pay the price. I want to live my life to please you from this point forward. So Jesus, come into my heart. I accept what you did for me. And I believe that you live in me, in Jesus' name. And now see, you're a believer. Jesus is in you now. He is living his life in you. And just the way he pleased the Father, you can please the Father. And in him, you can be perfect. And we see here where Adam and Eve missed it. But we don't have to miss it. I want to read to you a scripture before we close today in Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 10 says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that for you today. That was Paul praying that. He said, we've not stopped praying for you. And he said, we've asked God to give you complete knowledge of his will. The number one step in his will, the first thing his will is for you, is that you accept Jesus into your heart. So I believe you've done that today. Then after that, he wants you to begin to get spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray that for you today, because here's what's going to happen. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. This week and next week, we're going to learn to know God better and better. We're going to find out just what pleases him, and we're going to find out how we can walk perfectly in that. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For four decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no. The faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When his word comes out of your mouth, he is obligated by his calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you said.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
If you asked Jesus into your heart today, or maybe you thought, maybe you did it a long time ago, but you haven't really been living with him and living to please him and living the life that he's laid out for you, we have a package of materials for you. They're free. We'll send them to you postpaid. All you have to do is let us know that you asked Jesus into your heart, or let us know that you need these things. This is going to help you on your road with him, walking things out with him. God's will is the Holy Spirit. Now we're in Christ Jesus. Love, the secret to your success. Welcome to the family. How to study the Bible and the force of righteousness. We will send you these things free and postpaid. Please just let us know that you're part of the family now, because we want to bless you with that. And we're excited about you. Our offer this week is, you are the prophet of your own life. My dad preached this series at our church, Eagle Mountain International Church. Listen, God said good things about you, and the things that you agree with and you put into your mouth, those are the things that are going to come to pass in your life. Of course, the things are going to come to pass in your life, good or bad. You're the one that speaks into existence the plan of God. So please get this today. It'll so help you, and it fits so much with what I'm talking about the next couple of weeks. Fitting God's word into your mouth causes your life to turn around. Days of Refreshing started yesterday. It goes through September 21st at Eagle Mountain International Church. This is on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You need to join us if you can. If you're close enough to get to us, get an airplane, whatever it takes, come and see us. We've heard from my dad yesterday. The rest of the week is Keith Moore, Billy Brim. It's going to be so good and an exciting week here. If you can't come down, get us on the internet. We're showing the services live. I'm glad you joined me today. Tomorrow we're going to keep talking about pleasing the Lord. We're going to see how Samuel and David, the story of Samuel and David, and see how they did to please the Lord. Today is a special day to me. It's September the 17th. It's Lindsay's birthday, my daughter. I am so thankful for her. I'm thankful to her. I'm thankful to the Lord for just saving her life. He has been so good to this family and giving us her. Happy birthday, Lindsay. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus your Lord and Savior today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the open door. Take hold of the promises of God and walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Right in the middle of a busy life, stop and take a breath of spiritual fresh air. Pastors George and Terry Pearsons invite you to come to the 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Recharge your spirit and energize your faith as you sit under the life-changing teaching from Kenneth Copeland, Keith Moore, and Billy Brim. The 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st. For more information, go to emic.org. Couldn't make it to the Believers' Conventions this year? Then log on to our free webcast at kcm.org and catch up on what you missed.
He didn't intend for you to get a little dab of this, and you get a little dab of that, and you get a little dab of this, and the rest of you don't even get a dab. You just struggle on along with it, brother. Do the best you can, and one of these days it'll be worth it all. Dear God, it's worth it now.
Amen.
Amen. You can abound. God's talking about abounding.
Yeah.